नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नश प्रायेश भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तेर्भवति नैश्चिकी। ओम ज्ञात विरांदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदामैहं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणलिताश्च विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौरांगि राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। When I first attended the Sunday feast program in 1995 in this temple, I never thought I'll be sitting and speaking here. So, the first Sunday program of ISKCON was here, though I came in touch with ISKCON in Calcutta, in Mayapur. From this place, very exalted devotees speak. I don't know why I'm sitting here. Maybe it is the love of Madhavanand Prabhu on me. I see nothing else other than that. So this is a very sincere group of spiritual practitioners. When I was asked to speak on Sunday feast program here, I was worried what should I speak on. But when I got the SMS about the topic, it is Gita, understanding Gita and its practical application in life, I felt some confidence. So, this temple has been a great inspiration, source of inspiration for me, the devotees here, especially Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, who actually took care of me in my beginning days of Krishna consciousness in Mira Road. And also all my friends, Baldev Prabhu and all are here. So actually I feel at home when I come here. So here, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji is a Prayojana Tattva. Prayojana Tattva means the goal of life, love of God, Prema Prayojana. Prema Prayojana means to attain love for Krishna is the goal of life, and the Adhishtada Deva, the Adhidaiva, the presiding deity of the Prayojana Tattva is Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. And as soon as I entered here, I saw a drama, beautiful drama. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to Sri Rangam and then meeting that Brahmin. So when he met that Brahmin, he appreciated the Brahmin for his love for Krishna. He attained the goal of life while he was reading Bhagavad Gita. Many people have this concept that Bhagavad Gita is undergraduate. And now it's already 20 years of me in Krishna consciousness. I should be in the postgraduate level at least. So I shall study Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavad Gita is okay for beginners, neophytes. But it's surprising to see when you open the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the very first page in the introduction itself, Srila Prabhupada says, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is a practical application of Bhagavad Gita. It's very surprising to see that. So why is it so? Why is Chaitanya Charitamrita the practical application of Bhagavad Gita? It is because Krishna, when he spoke Bhagavad Gita, he just spoke it. But 5,000 years went by, but nobody read it. You'll be surprised to know Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years back. Till the 8th century, that means almost around 3,800 years have passed, nobody knew the existence of in Bhagavad Gita. Very few. Hardly we find commentaries on Bhagavad Gita before Sri Pad Shankaracharya's appearance. Buddhists, they drew away all the Vedic philosophers. They did so much of injustice to the Vedic literatures. And somehow the entire country was flooded with Buddhistic philosophy and Buddha Vihars. All the temples became Buddha Vihars. It is Krishna's plan to send Sri Pad Shankaracharya. Shankara, Shankara, Sakshat. He came and established the Vedic authority, and the main weapon which he used to destroy the Buddhists and all the nonsensical philosophy. Of course, his philosophy is also a kind of atheistic philosophy, but still, to bring the Vedic authority back, he used Bhagavad Gita. It is he who actually popularized Bhagavad Gita. That is why Gita Dhyanam and many verses of Gita Mahatmya are written by Sri Pad Shankaracharya. After he established authority of Gita and Vedic literatures, because his philosophy is impersonal, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord, sent few acharyas to establish the right philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, right conclusions of Bhagavad Gita. In spite of that, people, even though understanding right conclusions of Bhagavad Gita, they would not apply the principles of Bhagavad Gita in their life practically, because there is no inspiration. That is why Krishna, after speaking the Bhagavad Gita, same Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show us what he spoke 5,000 years back practically. He followed the principles of Bhagavad Gita and then showed to us how a devotee should conduct his life practically. Because when you show something practical, then what happens? People will learn nicely or understand it nicely and get inspired to do the same thing. Like you hear a class, you may be inspired for some time, but if you have a relationship with the devotee who is very enthusiastically practicing spiritual life, you will be inspired seeing that devotee. Because hearing is one thing, and seeing practically gives more inspiration. So that is why Krishna himself, he practiced the principles of Bhagavad Gita in his life and showed us what is love of God. It is not that Bhagavad Gita doesn't contain love of God. Actually, it contains love of God. Otherwise, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would manifest love of God if it is not mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? Because he is the person who told, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. Actually, one of the confidential reasons why Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to understand Bhagavad Gita. Because the topic is understanding Bhagavad Gita, and other one is what? Other one is practically applying Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna himself practiced the principles of Bhagavad Gita and showed us how to practice Bhagavad Gita. And not only that, he came to understand Bhagavad Gita. You may think, how is it so? That Krishna himself spoke Bhagavad Gita, and did he speak without understanding? Yes. Krishna says to Uddhava that the love which the gopis have towards me, I don't know how much it is. Since I don't know, I cannot repay it. So Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he spoke these words, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji maam namaskuru. He says, I spoke this verse, but I don't know the meaning of this verse. What is the understanding we get from this? Krishna spoke this verse, but he himself doesn't understand. Means he doesn't have the experience of it. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He said, you think of me. But he is speaking it without experience. According to some rules of Vedic arguments and philosophy, you should not speak something which you have not experienced. In the argument between Shankaracharya and Mandala Mishra, this happened. When Shankara was arguing, there's a topic which came out, the Grihastha Ashram. Shankara was a sannyasi, bala sannyasi. Then Mandal Mishra's wife was the judge. She said, Shankara, how can you speak something about this? You don't have experience. At that time, Shankara had to leave the body and had to go and join a king's body and have the experience of what is the meaning of being a family, in family life, and then come back and then argue. So now the question was raised at Krishna, how can you speak something which you have not experienced? He says, if you think of me, if you worship me, you will be happy. Krishna promises that. But have you experienced of thinking about yourself? Have you experienced thinking, worshipping yourself? That was the question raised unto Krishna. That is why Krishna, he said yes. The perfection, the completeness of Bhagavad Gita happens only when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when I come as Sri Chaitanya, when I come as a devotee. It's a very significant pastime, which has been shown today. In this pastime, actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completed Bhagavad Gita. It was undone. He has left it till this pastime. And then, after this pastime, where he goes for the South India tour, and then comes back, and then goes to the North India tour. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's North India tour is to Vrindavan. He went to Vrindavan, and while coming back from Vrindavan, he speaks to Rupa Goswami, and then he comes to Banaras, and then speaks to Sanatana Goswami. In the instructions of Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exactly clarifies the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita, because there are many confusions existing in this world among scholars and philosophies, different philosophers, even among devotees, even among Vaishnava acharyas. There are some confusions existing. All those confusions he resolved in his conversation with Sanatana Goswami, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by Sanatana Goswami, Ke ami kem na jai tapatrai? Who am I and why am I suffering the threefold miseries of life? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks the famous verse, Jivir Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. What Krishna he spoke in the Bhagavad Gita in a very direct, indirect way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same Krishna, speaks it out very clearly. And that is where he continues his instructions of Bhagavad Gita to Sanatana Goswami and concludes it. In one sense, if you see that Bhagavad Gita is actually the practical application. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life is actually the practical application of Bhagavad Gita. And not only the practical application, but also he came to understand Bhagavad Gita. Actually, I was not intending to speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all these things. I was thinking of speaking the overview of Bhagavad Gita. But as soon as I came, I saw this drama and felt inspired to speak on Sri Chaitanya and this particular subject. Now, coming back to our real subject of understanding Gita and going further to the practical application. Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters. You all know that. 18 chapters and 700 verses. And there's very nice, wonderful connection between each chapters and each verse to the other verse. Krishna, while presenting the Bhagavad Gita, actually presented the entire conclusions of Vedic literatures. That is why Sri Parashankaracharya says in his famous verse, Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dugda Gopal Nandana Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gitamritam Mahat. So if somebody studies the Bhagavad Gita very nicely and very systematically, he'll be very successful, not only in his spiritual life, but also in preaching Krishna consciousness. One Srila Prabhupada, he was asked by a press reporter, what is the secret of your success? The immediate reply Prabhupada gave was, I spoke Bhagavad Gita as it is. He did not say, my spiritual master blessing, all these things are there. But he said, I spoke Bhagavad Gita as it is. So if somebody wants to be successful, they have to speak Bhagavad Gita as it is. They have to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. Another small incident, which was a great inspiration for me. Once Zulneshwar Gopalakrishna Maharaj, at the time he was managing the temple, he has not taken sannyas at that time. There was a lot of problem in Bombay managing the temple because a lot of problems were there. So Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and he went to meet Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting under a tree, very relaxed in the courtyard. There Maharaj came and then, as usual, he says, Prabhupada, a lot of problems. Then Prabhupada looked at and told Gopal, have you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, cover to cover? Then he kept his head down and went to one room. He locked up himself for 4 days. He studied Bhagavad Gita cover to cover. And then he was taking his bag and going. Srila Prabhupada called, Gopal, you told that you have some problem in Bombay? And Maharaj looked back and told Prabhupada, all problems solved. So this is a speciality of Bhagavad Gita. Actually, we see the world has problems. This sansara is dukkhalaya shashvata, full of problems. We hear it many times, we speak it out many times. Though we hear it many times and speak it out many times, but we don't know the reality behind it. The reality is, it is not the world which is the problem. It is not the world which gives you misery. It is me who is the problem. A few months back, one devotee came and told me, Prabhuji, so many problems in my house, that, blah, 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 it was going on. Then I told him that you just take leave for 1 week and go to Samyatra, go to Mayapur. No mobile phone, nothing, no connection. Just go. You tell that I have to go for some place and then you just go. And after 1 week you come back and you find there will be a lot of change in your life. So he did it and came very happy and told Prabhuji, now all problems are solved. But my statement made him more miserable. I told, this shows that you were the problem. When you went away, everything was okay. So what does that mean? It is a conditioned consciousness. That is the problem. Actually, the problem is nowhere in this world. It is useless to blame somebody in some situation. It is actually me who I'm supposed to be blamed because of my conditioned consciousness. I have problem. That is called self-realization. That is how Arjuna was presented. Who is Arjuna? Arjuna is actually representing us, a conditioned soul. Actually, he's not a conditioned soul. He is actually the Parshad of Krishna. And we see in the Bhagavad Gita that he was so confused in the very first chapter. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what is the essential understanding in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? It is a conditioned consciousness which is the cause of confusion, which is the cause of problem. That is first chapter. Actually, if you see, the previous acharyas never gave a commentary to the first chapter, which is known as Arjuna Vishada Yoga. First chapter is known as Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Actually, in the first chapter, when devotees read it, what is this? No philosophy, it is just Arjuna saying something, that's something. Actual Bhagavad Gita starts in the second chapter. Sri Padmadvacharya doesn't even comment even in a single verse. Ramanacharya gives a comment into the first verse, but only a little bit. Not much. Shankar also doesn't do much. And Sri Vishnu Thakur does something because he has some names of Krishna. He gives the Rasika understanding of the names. But it is Srila Prabhupada who gave elaborate commentaries to each and every verse of the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, if you open the Veda base and see the number of lectures Srila Prabhupada gave on Bhagavad Gita, the maximum number are from the first chapter. Why is it so when no other acharyas have commented on the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, why Srila Prabhupada has done that? Because at that time, in a few hundred years back, all were at least having the knowledge that they were suffering. But now, the condition is so horrible, people even don't know that they are suffering. We talk about big philosophy, big knowledge. Even people don't know that I am suffering. Just imagine if you know that I am sick, you will go to the doctor and there is a solution for that. You have cancer and you don't know that I have cancer. What will happen? It is more horrible. So in those times, people knew that we are suffering and we had to take shelter of Bhagavad Gita. Somehow we should hear and then we should go back to the spiritual world. Attain liberation. The concept of liberation may be, there may be some confusion. The concept of the process of attaining liberation, there may be confusion. But everybody had this idea. No, we had to attain liberation. So those were the very high class audience to whom the acharyas were addressing. And Srila Prabhupada knew very well who are his audience. Actually, when the mode of ignorance increases in a person, what happens is, he doesn't even experience misery. He thinks he is happy. At least in passion, there is some awareness that I am suffering. That is why in the Samudra Manthan Leela, Krishna invested a special potency of mode of ignorance in Vasuki. Because in churning, what happens is a lot of pain is there. And for Vasuki not to experience the pain, the mode of ignorance had to be inundated in the body of Vasuki. Like for example, when the doctor does the operation, what does he do? He injects the mode of ignorance, the anesthesia. Then he cuts. Because at that time you cannot experience the pain, isn't it? So everybody in Kali Yuga, they are in total anesthesia. In spite of any suffering you get, they smile. That is a problem. So the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the subject is this. That is, you are suffering. So Prabhupada gave elaborate commentaries and elaborate lectures in the first chapter because he has to convince people, please understand you are suffering. Please understand you are confused. Actually, Bhagavad Gita starts with confusion of Arjuna. Actually, till the time I came to this temple room, I was also confused what to speak here. Anything what I thought of speaking, I felt all these devotees must be knowing all these things. What should I speak? So till I came to the temple room and sat here, I was confused. So I thought it's a very good beginning for the Bhagavad Gita class. Because Bhagavad Gita starts with confusion. Arjuna being confused. Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Today we'll be just having an overview of each chapter and then see how they're related. Because the first topic which has been given to me is understanding Bhagavad Gita. So by the end of some part of the lecture, you will have some understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And later on we'll do another part that is practical application. So the first chapter is all about this, that is how Arjuna was confused. Arjuna Vishada. Vishada means confusion, misery. So many meanings are there for Vishada. And not only that, there is yoga added to it. Very significant. Generally, traditionally, when the Bhagavad Gita has been recited after every chapter, we say, Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu. Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nam Pratamodhyaya Sankhya Yoga Nam Dityodhyaya, like that. Say, Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu. Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. In the Upanishads, there are so many different vidyas. Different vidyas. Vidya means knowledge. We know in the Upanishads, Vidyam cha Vidyam cha Stadvedo Bhayamsa. So Vidya means Vidya Savimuktayet. The knowledge by which we transcend suffering, go beyond suffering, that is Vidya. Generally, when I go to some schools or colleges, address some principals, I talk about this. Vidya means Vidya Sa Vimuktayet. Just imagine a first standard, second standard old kid, he carries a big load of bag and he says, I am going to learn Vidya. Yeah, when is he going to get rid of this bag? So much of burden. Burden is not education. Education means vidya, which delivers from this small kinds of miseries. So Brahma Vidyayam, after many vidyas, the 32 vidyas, among the 32 vidyas, the topmost is Brahma Vidya. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Among all the vidyas, I am Brahma Vidya or Adhyatma Vidya. So this Brahma Vidya, and within the Brahma Vidya, there are many shastras, scriptures. Brahma Vidyayam means among many, many Brahma vidyas, especially the Brahma Vidya, and in that Brahma Vidya, there are many shastra. Within that which shastra is Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Shastra. Yoga Shastra means that scripture which connects you with Krishna, that is called Yoga Shastra. Just here, first chapter is Arjuna Vishada Yoga. That misery which connects to Krishna. You see, Bhagavad Gita starts with a very, very unique proposal. The misery which connects you to Krishna. See, there are many kinds of miseries. There are many kinds of confusions. Not all miseries and all confusions lead to knowledge and needs the connection with Krishna. But the confusion and the misery which Arjuna experienced, that kind of confusion will lead to the connection with Krishna. What was Arjuna having? Arjuna was confused, but his confusion was very organized, very systematic. So as much as knowledge can be very much organized, confusion can also be very much organized. If you see the first chapter and just read the first chapter, you think, Bhagavad Gita, this is what it is. Arjuna giving lecture to Krishna about how we should not kill, how we should be non-violent, and how the society should not be destroyed. Better not to fight the war and prefer non-violence than fighting. So if somebody reads the Bhagavad Gita, he feels the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna. And Krishna was supposed to get the knowledge, and somehow Krishna played a trick and spoiled Arjuna's brain. That is what anybody would conclude. Because the things which Arjuna speak, even many devotees cannot think so. Many of the so-called advanced moral people cannot think so. What is in Arjuna? Bhiksham api haloke. Let me just go and beg. Why to kill my own relatives? He was so renounced. Such a high-class person Arjuna was. But still he was confused. Just imagine that confusion which Arjuna had is a very high-class confusion. A very systematic confusion he had. And that confusion is not, though it is material, but that material confusion, which is on material platform, that had the quality within it to connect to Krishna. That is why, if you see at the end of the first chapter, last verse, Prabhupada's purports last line, such a soft-hearted person like Arjuna is qualified to receive self-knowledge. And you find Arjuna has been described by Krishna as a fool in the second chapter. Asochana sochastam pragyavadam shabhasase gatasu nagatasumscha nanu shochanti pandita. Intelligent people or panditas don't think so. You find Krishna telling Arjuna a fool, but you find Prabhupada saying such a hard, soft-hearted person like Arjuna is fit to receive self-knowledge. That means Arjuna's confusion is not ordinary confusion like ours. That's also very high class. That is why it is known as Vishada Yoga. How can material lamentation be yoga? This was a question asked by one scholar in ISKCON only, who has translated our Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita into Telugu. Because he was not able to digest this particular line, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, because he knows Sanskrit. How can Vishada be yoga? Yoga means it should be happiness. Keval Ananda Kanda, how can Arjuna Vishada be yoga? It is because of this, because he was qualified. So being confused, being miserable, If that confusion and misery leads to surrender to Krishna, which Arjuna did, that confusion and misery, you should pay obeisance to that. Kuntimani says that. He says, Vipadasantuta Shastra Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyat Napunar Bhava Darshanam. Let miseries come more and more. Because this, if it leads to surrender to Krishna, actually that misery, that confusion is spiritual. That is yoga. Yoga means spiritual. That is Arjuna Vishada Yoga. That is the conclusion of the first chapter. Actually, if you go detailed in the first chapter itself, it's a very big subject matter. Arjuna presented 4 confusions in the first chapter and the 5th one in the second chapter. Now let us go to the second chapter now. Second chapter, the most important incident happened in the entire existence world, where Arjuna surrenders to Krishna. After speaking so much of knowledge, what kind of knowledge? Knowledge based on ignorance. Now, these days in the schools and colleges and so many people, philosophers speak, they also speak knowledge. What is it, knowledge? The platform on which they speak knowledge is ignorance. Because it is ignorance, because it is nothing to do with spirituality. So now in the second chapter, Arjuna, he says, I'm confused. If you see how logically he said, in the first chapter, you know, that how Arjuna says to Krishna, oh, swajannam hi katam hatva. How can anybody kill his own relatives? And then he says, that how can I enjoy without my relatives? If you give something to someone, he says, very good, I'll go alone and eat it or enjoy it. Arjuna was so high class that he says, what is he? How, even if I win the kingdom, how can I enjoy without my relatives? And then he said, it is said in the scriptures that if you kill aggressors, you will not be afflicted by sin. But that is low class scripture. High class scriptures, dharmika granthas, they say, the scriptures of religiosity say, even if you kill a simple person, you will be afflicted by sin. Yes, see, Arjuna was such a learned person. But still Krishna calls him a fool. And just imagine the knowledge which Krishna is giving, how advanced it is. So this is the level of Bhagavad Gita. When a person like Arjuna was so renounced, just imagine a king telling, let me just go and beg, how much renounced he was. How humble he was, Arjuna. He says, Nahi prapashyami mahamunudhyanja chosham indriyanam. He says that, I cannot see anybody else other than you, Krishna, who can deliver me from this condition. Humility. He says, I become a kripana, karpanya dosha upatachetasa, dharma sammuda chetaha. I am completely confused. So just see the humility of Arjuna. Just see the vairagya, renunciation of Arjuna. And such Arjuna became a fit candidate to surrender, to take initiation or surrender. And Arjuna in the second chapter, eighth verse, he says, Vapna bhumno asabaddha ruddham rajyam suranam. Even if I get the kingdom, which is unrivaled, which is like heaven, position of Indra, even if I get that, I will not leave your shelter. That was a strong surrender of Arjuna. And such a surrendered Arjuna, what does Krishna say? He smiles at him. Wow. Krishna smiles at him. Prahasanniva. Wow, you are my friend, you are surrendered to me now. And now Krishna at once took the position of a spiritual master and immediately he scolded him. Actually, when you scold someone, if you scold directly, the influence is, the effect is not so much as much when you scold him indirectly. The effect is much. Even if you want to glorify someone, like if you say you are very beautiful, it doesn't affect as much as if you say nobody is as beautiful as you. Indirect. Like if you want to scold a person, if you say you are a fool, he says, okay. Actually, intelligent people don't think so. Means, he starts thinking, is it so? Then I should also be intelligent now. I should think in a different way. And this way, asochana sochastam. Now, Krishna directly came and pinpointed to Arjuna. He said, this is your problem. What is your problem? Asochan anvasochastvam. Means what? Means to think about things which are not fit to be thought about. It is a common problem with all of us. What all you had thought whole day, just make a note of it and read it out while you sleep. You laugh at it. This is the prime. So people say that Bhagavad Gita says, don't worry, be happy. Yes, Krishna says, Nanu sochitum arhasi. He says, Nanu sochitum. But at the same time, he says, arhasi. It is good, it is true that you should not think about things which are not fit to be thought about. But at the same time, you should think about things which are fit to be thought about. Nanu sochitum means don't worry. Actually, if you want to present Bhagavad Gita in two words, one somebody called me in Bhayandar. They said that, Pravachandiji, there is some political thing. I went there was a big stage and 15 people were sitting on the stage. And I was sitting. 10:30 I went. My turn did not come till 12 o'clock. Everybody was speaking. And 12 o'clock program was supposed to get over and it became 12:15. Then the person who was invited me, he told, now this is the last speaker for today. Swamiji will speak. Aap aaiye. Samay ka abhav hai. We are over time. Do shabd kahi hai. Gita ke upar do shabd kahi hai. Speak two words. Then I stood up, took the mic and told, Ma Shucha. It came and sat down. Then everybody were like, the atmosphere became very heavy. Then another person who was there, a little bit intelligent, he understood what I was feeling. Immediately he took the mic and told, Swamiji, aur kuch shabd bol sakte hai. You can speak some more words. Then I told, don't worry, be happy. Went and sat down. Then I kuch aur bol sakte hai. Do char minute bol sakte hai. Now from shabda it became minutes. Then by the time when I went, it was about 200 people were sitting. By the time all of them spoke, everybody was so bored, only 20-25 people were sitting. Then I took the mic and asked those 25 people, how many of you want to hear about don't worry, be happy? So then what do we want to hear? How long you want to hear? Then they all told, okay, you speak as much as you want. There are 15 people sitting on the stage and I went on. It went on for 1.5 hours. There was only one person sitting on the stage. There are 200 back. So, actually, this is the subject of Bhagavad Gita, Mahasucha. If you see, in the beginning also he says, the beginning, middle and end, whatever has been spoken in the beginning, in the middle and the end, that is the subject. Like in the Vedic literatures, in the beginning, middle and end, sarvatra harer giyate, adhyech madhyech antyech sarvatra harer giyate. Hari's glories are only spoken. Even you find so many glories of some demigods, ultimately it is the glory of Hari. In the same way, even though there are several things spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, tannad bhavanti bhutani, so many things are spoken, brahma arpanam, brahma havi, but ultimately the subject is what? Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kaangshati ma shucha ashocha na sochastvam. You go everywhere, this is what is the subject. So Krishna starts with that. And what is your problem? The problem is that thinking of things which are not fit to be thought about. Oh, he told me like this, what people are thinking about me, what people will feel about me. This is the problem. And what is the solution? The solution is when you study the Bhagavad Gita, you'll come to the platform of don't worry, be happy. So to be more, these days, if you don't present in the way people understand, it's very difficult for people to appreciate. So there's a lot of difference between being careless and being carefree. A spiritualist is not careless, but he's carefree. Mahasucha means being carefree, not careless. So that is what Krishna says in the second chapter. And for that, Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, you are so much worrying about religiosity, being superior to economic development, economics and politics. But beyond religiosity, there is knowledge. Hear that knowledge from me. So he speaks about the knowledge of the soul in the second chapter. and doesn't leave it there. Because knowledge of the soul, if it is not accompanied with the actions based on that knowledge, then it is useless. And this is where Krishna talks about Buddhi Yoga in the second chapter. This Buddhi Yoga is a very important term. Buddhi means intelligence. What do we do with intelligence? We connect things, we relate things. That is how a child learns, a baby learns. He sees something and then connects it. That is how the knowledge develops. That is called Buddhi. The function of intelligence is to connect and discriminate. Discriminate between the proper connections and the improper connections. That is called Buddhi. Now, before Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita, there are basically two classes of people who will debate on the Vedic literatures. One is those who profess jnana and they say you should be renounced, go to the forest, study the Upanishads. And some who says no, you should do karma and then do the karma kanda and just act. The people who are there on the Upanishad side, the jnana platform, they would say these karmis, they are sense enjoyers, and they would say, these karmis would say to these people, you are useless people, fit for nothing people. In this way, there's a big fight. Even still it is there. Isn't it? When the brahmacharis or sannyasis go and say, karmis, what they say? They say, you are fit for nothing people. You're getting free food. All these things they say. It has been an age-old thing. It's not a new thing. Is going on. But Krishna, he resolved the contradiction. That is why Bhagavad Gita is revered among all the scholars. Some people may accept some literature, some people may not accept that literature. There may be some acceptance and rejections even in Vedic literatures, but all classes of people, Bhagavad Gita has to be accepted. They accept it. Why? Because Krishna has resolved all the confusions in the Bhagavad Gita. Especially this confusion. And to emphasize that I have resolved this confusion, Krishna says, Sankhya Yoga Pratakbala, Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha. Many places he says that there is actually no confusion between knowledge and work, because you cannot work without knowledge. And if you don't work having knowledge, there is no use of that knowledge. That is why combine both. Even if you read those verses that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, 11th till 30th verse, you will know that I am not this body, but you will not realize it. Realization of I am not this body, I am spirit soul happens only when we work. When we work for Krishna. Without working for Krishna, the realization that I am not this body and spirit soul doesn't happen. This is where Krishna termed it as Buddhi Yoga, because intelligent people, what they do? They know and do. If you don't know and work, it is like a student without attending the theory class goes to a chemistry laboratory. What will happen? All different gases will come and he will come out messed up. And that is what is happening these days. Like you going and working without understanding the Bhagavad Gita. And understanding the Bhagavad Gita, if you don't work, the knowledge will not internalize. That is where Krishna speaks this word Buddhi Yoga. And then he speaks about Buddhi Yoga, Karmanya, Vadikaraste, etc., etc. And then in the second chapter, last, he speaks about the symptoms of a person who is practicing Bhagavad Gita. That will keep at the last. Now, third chapter. Actually, second chapter, Krishna has completed the Bhagavad Gita. Over. What all he has spoken in the third chapter till the 18th chapter, everything is there in the second chapter, but it is not very, very clear. Arjuna had a confusion after the second chapter. It is like Krishna pouring out knowledge like a waterfall, like you have a waterfall. And you take a small vessel and then try to catch some water and bring it back. How much water will remain? Nothing. That is what happened to Arjuna. Arjuna was like already bewildered. And Krishna spoke verse after verse, verse after verse. 72 verses he spoke directly. And he was like completely, Arjuna said, I'm confused now. So again, Arjuna raises the confusion. The same confusion which was there right from the history of time. Should I work or not work? Like many of the young boys have. Should I join the ashram or should I work? Something like that. He had the same confusion. What should I do? Because here, Krishna, he told in the second verse, Dureni avaram karma. Keep all the abominable actions away. You should be away from all kinds of abominable actions. Horrible actions. And what is an horrible action? And he said that I should be away. At the same time he says, you work. What is this? Third chapter again, he raised the confusion. Then when Arjuna asks his confusion, actually the same question. In the second chapter, whatever question was raised by Arjuna, same question he asked, but added one more word. Yashreyasyan nishtam bruhitanme. Second chapter, seventh verse. In the third chapter, again he says, Yashreyaha. Yena shreyonu apnuvan. Vada ekam nishchitva. Tell only one thing, because you told two things, I'm confused. Tell only one thing. And again Krishna explains the third chapter. Let us see what is the subject matter of the third chapter. Third chapter is actually the first instruction of Krishna, because he is again elaborating the entire thing. Third chapter talks about sacrifice. Yajñārthāt karmanonyatra lokoyam karmabandhanah. Tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. That is the central point of the third chapter, that is, you should sacrifice to yajna. Because he's yajna purusha, he is supposed to get sacrifice, the result of sacrifice, and you are supposed to sacrifice. What is the meaning of sacrifice? Sacrifice means, by ignorance, I think something to be mine, and I give it to the person whom it actually belongs to, thinking that I am giving it to him. That is called sacrifice. Some people say, oh, I sacrificed this. But you should know the meaning of sacrifice. Like somebody says, I have donated 1 lakh rupees to Radha Gopinath. Actually, whom does it belong to, actually? It's his only. But by ignorance, I thought this is mine. And how do I purify that ignorance? By giving it to him. Whether you know who is he or not, just give it. Just at least start sacrificing. So now, as I've discussed, asocha anusachustam pragnyavadam shbhasi, the subject is, don't worry, be happy. But to achieve that result of don't worry, be happy, what you are supposed to do? Sacrifice. So now the process of achieving the result is sacrifice. And Krishna explains this sacrifice throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Beginning with, just sacrifice as a matter of duty. You don't worry whom you are giving all these things, just do it, because this attachment to this thing is the cause of problem to you. So you just give a part of it. Actually, when you give a part of this thing, you are giving a part of your attachment, you are a part of misery you are giving. Some material objects are given and sacrificed. Actually, you are sacrificing misery. It is good, actually. So in this way, Krishna explains in third chapter sacrifice. Now, he says, the sacrifice is so wonderful. So wonderful. Pavanani manishayaha. It purifies even exalted personalities. Yajna dana tapak karma. Natajyam karyamevata. Yajne dane tapascheva. Uses the word again. Three words again. Pavanani manishayaha. Of course, this is from the 18th chapter, but still I am quoting it here, because sacrifice purifies even exalted personalities. As Krishna says, even when I appear, I do this thing. I follow all the rules and regulations of Varnashrama Dharma and sacrifice it to the Supreme Lord. Actually, when somebody is self-realized, he need not do. Even though somebody is self-realized, just for the sake of loka sangrameva api samsiddhim janakadeha, gives the example of Janaka and says, even though one may be very exalted like Janaka, to whom Lord Ramachandra personally came and begged, oh, please give your daughter to me, Kanyadan. He asked Kanyadan, please give me Dan. Just imagine how exalted is Janaka's position. Krishna quotes Janaka's example, saying that even though you need not do, that Janaka need not do, still he did. Janaka was self-realized. Actually, self-realized people need not do karma. They are not obliged to do karma. But still they do karma. Why? Still they do sacrifice, because karma means sacrifice. Tadartam karma kaunteya. When we hear word karma, we should understand it is sacrifice to Krishna. Even though Janaka was so self-realized, till he sacrificed, till he did his all his duties. Why? Because to establish a system in this world. If Janaka becomes self-realized, he's always engrossed in Krishna consciousness. If he doesn't take care of his household responsibilities, being a king, being a family man, then what will people think? Without getting qualified, they start imitating Janaka. Third chapter is very, very important. Hey, karma yoga. We are bhakta yogis, na? Whenever any yoga has been used in the Bhagavad Gita, it refers to bhakti. Third chapter's name is karma yoga. Never underestimate this third chapter. It has led to so many problems in our society. There are some people who are self-realized and they can just renounce their household responsibilities and then just be happy in Krishna consciousness. Seeing that, there are many people who think that I should also do the same and give up the household responsibilities, which is actually the cause of one's purification. To give you a very simple example, responsibilities in the material platform are there. When they are detailed in Krishna's service, that responsibility becomes the cause of our purification. Karma's purpose is purification when it is detailed in Krishna's service. Like somebody is too dirty. You've gone in Bombay and a lot of mud, lot of oil on your body. Then you have to apply soap, which is another dirt. And that purifies. Somebody is not so much attached, he just can be without. Just put water and okay, that's enough. So third chapter, Krishna, he says, even my dear Arjuna, when I come, name parthasi kartavyam, I don't have any duty to perform. I'm not obliged to anything. But this, still I do it. Because yadyad acharati sreshta. Whatever great people do, others follow. Third chapter is Krishna emphasizes sacrifice. Do it. Whoever may be, just do it. The fourth chapter, he goes one step ahead. He says, though you are sacrificing, when you start sacrificing, when you start doing some kind of responsibilities to Krishna, to offer of your material responsibilities and offering to Krishna, what happens? You develop a desire to know whom I am doing for. The fourth chapter is Jnana Karma Vijnana Yoga, where Krishna, he establishes that how I am superior to Arjuna and the Supreme Lord. Janma Karma Chame Divyam. So, knowledge plus sacrifice is fourth chapter. In the fifth chapter, interesting thing happened. After speaking third and the fourth chapters, Arjuna got confused again. Just imagine, third confusion now. Because in third and fourth chapters, Arjuna, he heard, still he was confused. He told, okay, tell again, should I work, should I fight or renounced? In the fifth chapter, Arjuna, he asks question. Tanme bruhi sunischitam. Previous verse was nischitam. Now it's sunischitam. Please explain me definitely and only one thing. Don't tell two things. And Krishna again explains. And he concludes the fifth chapter saying that, though you know me as a Supreme Lord, generally, when somebody knows he's a Supreme Lord, what is the first thing comes to your mind? Okay, let me go and ask him something. But my supremacy is actually understood when you understand my actual position as what? Bhoktaram yajna tapasam saraloka maheshwaram surudam sarubhutanam gyatva mam shantirichati. My dear Arjuna, even though you are doing responsibilities, the knowledge that I am the Supreme Lord, you will not get peace until unless you know the real nature of mine. What is my real nature? I am the enjoyer. And do sacrifices with the knowledge of me as the enjoyer. That is the fifth chapter. And then he goes to the sixth chapter. Okay, you're doing sacrifices with the knowledge of me as the enjoyer. Are you thinking about me? That is Dhyana Yoga. So thinking of Krishna and sacrificing with the knowledge that Krishna is enjoyer is the sixth chapter. Okay, when you come to temple, it's easy to think of Krishna. Close your eyes, see Krishna. But the problem is when you go out, you see the billboards, that, this. And how to think of Krishna, even if Krishna is not in front of me as a deity or in the meditation form, in the form of scriptures. When I see matter, how to think of Krishna? Just imagine, matter is also a manifestation of Krishna. Krishna, who manifests matter? Krishna. That is why he says, yes, this is the higher stage. To see Krishna everywhere and to see everything as energy of Krishna. Balam balavatam chaham kama raga vavarchitam. Seventh chapter, Krishna says this thing. That means constant meditation of Krishna even though you are seeing matter. You mam pashit sarvatra. One who sees me everywhere. And then, eighth chapter. Krishna says, Kavim Purana Manushashitaranam Manoraniyamsham Manusmaredya. Thinking about my qualities of the personality. In this way, there is a beautiful progression in the Bhagavad Gita. In the eighth chapter, Krishna talks about constant thinking of my divine qualities. And in the ninth chapter, Krishna concludes. Actually, Bhagavad Gita, the ninth chapter, saying that man manabho mad bhakto, that is love for Krishna, attaining love for Krishna. Constant meditation with love. You see, starts with sacrifice and ends with love for Krishna. Somebody comes and gives small donation, and then after a few years, he lands up in ecstasy crying for Krishna. That's Bhagavad Gita. Now, after the ninth chapter, then Arjuna was completely excited. He told, oh Lord, this is so wonderful that I have heard about your vibhutis in the ninth chapter. In the ninth chapter, Krishna says that how matsthani sarvabhutani nachamasthani matsthani nachamasthani, the entire world is in me and I am in them. At the same time, they are not in me, I am not in them. Confusing thing speaks. Arjuna was very excited. I want to know about this. At the same time, I want to know about your qualities. Etan vibhutim cha yogam cha. Vibhuti means the opulence of Krishna and yoga means qualities. There are actually two things with which Krishna is recognized. His qualities and his vibhutis. His opulences. This material world, etc. The opulence and qualities of Krishna. How he is a creator, destroyer, etc. etc. The whole 10th chapter is a description of Krishna's qualities and Krishna's vibhutis, the Aishwarya of Krishna. That is why 10th chapter is known as Vibhuti Yoga. Now after hearing this Vibhuti Yoga, Arjuna became more excited and told, I want to see this. If 10th chapter is a radio and 11th chapter is a TV. Then he saw. Now told him, I don't know enough now. Universal form. He saw. Because in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, Vishtabhya vidam krishnam ekam kshena sito jagat. The entire world is just, is manifest in a fragment of my portion. Then what happened? 11th chapter, Krishna showed the entire universal form and ultimately concluded with the sweetness. That is the two-handed form of Shyam Sundar standing in front of Arjuna. Arjuna was very much afraid and told, oh Lord, I just want to see you and worship this form. And how to do that worship? 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga. Where Krishna not only talks about bhakti at five levels. The topmost level of bhakti is what? Just see Krishna and faint in love of God like Chaitanya. How many of us can do that? It's impossible. If you cannot do that, Krishna says, do sadhana bhakti. Abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dananjaya. Atachittam samadhatum nashaknoshi maistiram. If you cannot do abhyasa, okay, at least mat karma paramobhava. You do work for me. If you even cannot do work for me, offer the result of your work to me. Karma phala tyagat. Tyagat chantirantaram. In this way, after describing about the five levels of devotion, ultimately Krishna talks about the qualities of devotees. 12th chapter. That is Bhakti Yoga. Now, again the second chapter, Arjuna remembered. You told, you know, without knowledge, we are all, you said about Atma and Paramatma and all these things. I want to more detailed. 13th chapter is nothing but the second chapter what Krishna has told. The same knowledge in the 13th chapter, Krishna talks in a technical way. Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. When we don't understand the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, what happens? We are bound in this material world. The interaction of the three modes of material nature are there. How the description of suffering in detail is explained in the 14th chapter. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Again, Purushottama Yoga. So how to get out of this material world? Devotional service again has been established in the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter, two kinds of people, Daivasura Sampada Vibhaga Yoga, and the 17th chapter, Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga, division of faith, and ultimately Karma Sannyasa Yoga, 18th chapter, where Krishna concludes, surrender unto me, Sarva Dharman Parityaj, Amekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Asucha. So it started with sacrifices of objects. Saradharman Parityaja means sacrifice of one's false identity and accepting the real identity that I am servant of Krishna, which is described as Manmanabho Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. With this we conclude the first half of the topic which was given to me, that is understanding Bhagavad Gita. Some understanding, not complete understanding, something. Now let us go to the practical application. Now, practical application, though it has been described as Manmanabha Madbhakto, but I would not talk about that particular verse. I'll speak about the second chapter, 54th verse onwards, in summary. How much time I have, Prabhuji? How much time I have? Maybe you can speak, huh? Okay. Okay. 15 minutes? 15 minutes, okay. So in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 54th verse, Arjuna asks a question to Krishna. Sita prajnyascha ka bhasha siddhir kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. He asks four questions. Oh Krishna, you told about a devotee, samadha vachala buddhi. He is situated in samadha, he is undisturbed. How to attain that undisturbed state of consciousness? Because this material world is so designed in such a way that I am always disturbed, I am confused. How to attain that? Or a person who has attained that, what is the symptom of it? What does he do? What are the symptoms of Sita Prajna? So very important section. Sita Prajnyascha ka bhasha. Bhasha means language. Arjuna said, how does it, what is the language of a devotee? Does it speak Marathi or Gujarati or Sanskrit? What is the language of a devotee? Here the word language refers to the general behavior of a devotee, of a Sita Prajna. How does he conduct his, what is the general principle by which he conducts his life? If you know the general principle by which we conduct, a devotee should conduct his life, Krishna, he answers that question of Sita Prajnyascha ka bhasha. He says, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. Atman nevatmanam tushta stita prajnyasada uchchate. He says, Prajahati yada kaman gives up all kinds of thoughts of sense gratification. Why he gives up? Because manogatan, it is all mental speculation. I don't know, recently when I was giving a lecture on this particular verse, spontaneously something came up. Very interesting. These material things in this world, how much value they have? They have only that much value to the extent you value them. Just imagine, you go to a shop and a shopkeeper gives you the license or the freedom to value things, and you can take it according to your own value. There is no fixed price tag. It is written there, whatever value you have, you can take it. You'll be so happy, isn't it? So there was a shop So many things are available. And you went there, you wanted so many things, you went there. And the shopkeeper told, how much is this? You tell, whatever value you give, that much is the value for this. You are very intelligent, you told. Zero. The shopkeeper told, if it is of zero value to you, why are you taking it? It's very interesting to note. Now, if you say it is 100 rupees, that means you are giving the value of 100, and for that you had to work for that 100 rupees and get it. Actually, you don't require it. This is called manogatan, mental speculation. I still remembered when I was in childhood, we used to play with marbles. I don't know, in Bombay, children play with that or not. Goli, we say. And the streets used to play like anything. I was very expert in that. I had big, big bottles. And especially the blue color ones, they are very special. I would never use it for betting. Once I win, put it in a special class. But when I came and finished my 10th standard examination, clearing off all the books and that, and because over now, in the same hands which accumulated these more than 1,500 marbles, golis, in the same hands which I earned for so many years, I just threw it in the gutter. They were so valuable at one particular period of time because of my mental speculation, manogatan. And after some time, it doesn't have any value. That is why Krishna says the general behavior, every time when you take a buy a thing or want a thing, think, do you require it? That is called Western culture. The simple difference between a family in Western culture and Vedic culture is, I still remember my grandfather when he wanted to go to the market. First he used to make a list what he wanted. And then he would recheck it. And he would go specifically to get, purchase them and come back. But if you go now, these days, you go and ask them, why didn't you come to the program? No, today is Saturday evening, we are going for shopping. What do you want to purchase? We'll go there and see. It's a cultural shock. I remember my grandfather at that time. I would just say, I want this. He could not put it in the list. And here, they would just go and try to see what they want. It's not even what they want. Let us go for shopping. And do we really require that? That intelligence has been completely spoiled by this materialistic education. The wave of modern culture is so powerful, so strong, that everybody is carried away. That viveka, the simple intelligence, leave out Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, leave out all these things. Even simple materialistic intelligence is also completely lost. So that is the situation. Prajahatida kaman sarvan. Sarvan, not in a single thing. Sarvan, partha. Why? Because manogatan. It's all mental faculty, that's all. The mind sometimes says, I want this. The same mind says, I don't want this. Like a child. That is a general behavior. If somebody cannot practice this simple thing, it is very difficult to be a devotee. This is a platform of progressing in Krishna consciousness. What is that? Prajahat yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. Giving up all kinds of material desires which are just arising from our mental factory. At the same time, where you get the pleasure from? Atmani eva atmanam tushta, being satisfied on the spiritual activities. It is not that we are just some dead piece of wood. No desire. Yes, atmani eva atmanam tushta, chitta prajnyastha dochate. This is chitta prajnyastha ka bhasha. This is the language of a devotee. Chitta dir kim prabhasheta. How does he speak? We are talking about the subject is practical application. How does he speak? How does he speak? Sweetly he speaks, angrily he speaks. Now here the word speak means what? Prabhashita means speak. How does he speak means what? Means how does he react to situations. Very, very important. If you don't practice these principles, which Krishna is so nicely explaining, very difficult to progress in devotion. Like if you want to progress, if you want to go somewhere, the platform should be there. You want to walk, the platform should be proper. It is a platform on which we progress in devotional service. We have to practice these things. What is that? How we react to situations. For that Krishna says, we should react to situation. Dukkheshu anadvignamana, sukheshu vigataspraha, vita raga bhayakrodha, satadirmani ruchyate. Because situations are only two kinds in this world. One is what? Sukha, and other is dukkha. Dukkha means when you get something which you don't want, when you lose something which you want, that is dukkha. Somebody criticizes you, or somebody defames you. You lose something which is very dear, person or things. That is dukkha. Even though among so much of dukkha has come, dukkheshu anudvignamanaha, undisturbed. Sukheshu vigataspriha. Vigataspriha means he is not so elated. Vita raga bhayakrodha. Yaha sarvatra bisnes tatrat prapya shubha shubham nabinandati nadveshti. Suppose somebody gives you some wonderful thing to you. So you say, thank you very much. And somebody gives you some horrible thing to you. I curse you and all these things. Na abhinandati, neither praising, na dveshi, nor hatred. Very, very important point. We are putting tilak, kantimala, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It means that we are representing very high class culture. So when you are representing high class culture, we should follow these minimum things which Krishna is speaking. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says this thing. When miseries come, the devotee tells those miseries. He speaks out to that misery. What does he say? More should have come. It is the mercy of Krishna that he is giving me less. When happiness comes, I am not qualified for it because Krishna is giving me some facility in happiness so that I can serve him better. This is the platform. This is a practical application of Bhagavad Gita. Kim prabhasheta means this. And kim asita? This is where we should be more careful. Asita means what? How does he sit? Sits on a chair and sits somewhere. Folded legs. Which asana he sits on? Padmasana, Mayurasana, that asana. Which asana means, how does he sit means, how does a devotee disengage his senses? For that Krishna gives an example. What is that example he gives? He gives Kurmu Anganeva Sarvashaha. Indriyan Indiyarthebhyas Tasit Prajna Pratishtitaha. Naturally, the senses are so powerful that they are attracted to the sense objects. So what does he do? He sees the situation which is very, very dangerous for me. So he avoids it. Should be very intelligent in avoiding the situations which are very attractive for the senses. It's another practice. And for that, what one has to do? Even though you have a desire, you should learn how to say no to the mind and the senses. You have achieved 80% of self-realization if you are able to tell no to your mind. At the same time, look at Krishna. Vishayam nivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasupyasya param drishtva nivartate. Even though rasopyasya, even though there is so much of attraction for the sense objects, say no to it at the same time. Param drishtva, look at Krishna. Look at Krishna means look at Krishna's holy name, look at Krishna's activities, devotees. And then you get the strength to say no to the mind. Otherwise, so powerful. It is so powerful. Vipaschitaha, learned persons, learned persons, they also are dragged away. Prabhupada gives an example of Vishwamitra there. Because they tried to control the senses without taking shelter of Krishna. If somebody does that, try to control the senses without taking shelter of Krishna, they'll fall down. And how they fall down is described by Krishna in 62nd and 63rd verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Jayato Vishyan Pumsaha Sangaste Shubajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodo Vijayate Krodad Bhavat Sammoha Sammoha Spitir Brahma Spitir Brahmaschad Buddhinasha Buddhinasha Pravashati. So in this way, we should learn how to say no to the mind and the senses. That is self-realization actually. It is something very internal. Actually, the fight is not outside. The fight is inside. Senses are dragging us. Go there, do this, get that. If you learn to say no, they'll keep quiet. It is like a naughty child. If you encourage more, then he'll jump onto your head. You had it. And then the fourth thing. Rajeta Kim, how does he walk? Very important subject. If at all my coming here is of some success for success, of course, I have success having darshan of all your devotees and deities and meeting all devotees. But if you are able to study Bhagavad Gita every day, or at least whenever you get time, very nicely and thoroughly, and enjoy the purports of Prabhupada. Recently I was giving a Brahmacharya class and then told them, you try to read the purports and enjoy it. It is so wonderful and so juicy. Practically the whole world is in it. The whole world of Krishna consciousness is in the purports of Prabhupada. There, Kim Prabhasheta, Kim Vrajeta, Kim Vrajeta Kim, or how does he walk? Walking means what? How does he walk? Walk fast or what? No. Walking means here, how does he engage his senses? Krishna says, how does a devotee engage his senses? He engages senses in such a way that is not affected by the sense objects. Who is the expert doctor? One who does the operation of a patient who is having so much of infection, but still he himself is not infected. That is expertise of a doctor. It is not just doing the operation. After the operation, if the doctor himself gets the sickness, I had a British chief engineer when I was working in the ship. He used to tell, the best engineer is one who gets the work done or works without getting its hands dirty. Krishna says, prasadam adigacchati. He says, one who works in such a way, engages senses in such a way, he controls his senses in such a way, at the same time he engages senses in such a way that he is not affected. When he works for me, engages senses for me, he will get my mercy. And what is that mercy? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, a devotee, even though he is on the sensual platform, he is not affected by matter. Srila Prabhupada, how much he was dealing with matter, just imagine. Billions of dollars, so many temples, so much of fame, but still he is unaffected. A sannyasi, he is bargaining with people, he is dealing with all kinds of people, completely unaffected. So just imagine being close to objects of sense enjoyment, at the same time being unaffected by it. That is the mercy of Krishna. Exclusive mercy of Krishna is there on a particular devotee. It can be understood when you see that the devotee is so much surrounded by the objects of sense enjoyment, but still is unaffected by it. And then Krishna says, prasade sarvadukkhanam hanir. Sarvadukkhanam hani. Sarvadukkhanam hani means what? All the miseries are completely destroyed when we get the mercy of Krishna. Generally when we say prasad means what you're going to get now. But prasad means mercy. We should understand. What does Krishna mean by prasad in the Bhagavad Gita? He means that even though you keep some burnt up khichdi in front of you, a devotee, he sees it. Krishna has given this. You give a nice, wonderful big plate of so many wonderful things. Krishna has given. He sees Krishna. He doesn't see the sense objects. That is why, even though sense objects are around, but he is unaffected by the sense objects, that ability in the devotee is actually given by Krishna. That is the special mercy of Krishna. In this way, Krishna, he explains how does a devotee walk. So this section of Bhagavad Gita, that is second chapter, 54 till the end of the chapter, it's a very, very significant section known as the qualifications of Sthita Prajna, or the symptoms of Sthita Prajna, symptoms of the devotee. There are so many wonderful things to be learnt, especially these four things. So, concluding my talk today on Bhagavad Gita, because basically there are two sections which are given to me. One is understanding the Bhagavad Gita, and there is a practical application of Bhagavad Gita. To summarize the entire thing, in understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, we gave a overview of the entire 18 chapters and how there is a beautiful flow of philosophy, a nice net of philosophy from chapter to chapter, chapter to chapter, and Krishna takes us to the point of the highest level in the, exactly the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, ninth chapter, the middle of Bhagavad Gita. That is where Krishna takes us to the highest summit of love of God, saying, Manmanabha Madbhakto, and again explains so many different things which I had already explained, and then says, surrender. Surrender your false ego. Surrendering your false ego means being humble. So humility is somebody who practices Krishna consciousness. Humility and surrender. Somebody practices Krishna consciousness, the Krishna conscious activity is what he is doing, that will have total effect. Some people say, Puja, I am standing so many times, why is it not affecting? Because sarvadharman parityaja, it is not practiced. Surrender is not practiced. If you ask any devotee, what is devotion? What are the aspects of devotion, bhakti, angas, immediately they quote this verse. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishwasparanam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, atmanivedanam. Everybody knows practically. Ask them, after that? No. Very important. Chanting, hearing, it is devotion. But it will have effect on you only when kriyate bhagavatyaddha, when it is done as an offering to Krishna in a surrendered mood. If it is not done with a surrender mood, iti pumsarpita vishnu kriyate bhagavatyaddha bhaktisce navalakshana. Prahlad Maharaj says this thing. Iti pumsarpita vishnu, it should be done in the mood of surrender. So it is the surrender which is the underlying principle behind all the devotional activities. The more we are surrendered with humility, with that consciousness when we chant and hear, that hearing and chanting enters our heart. And it will do effect. Otherwise, it will be like rain on a barren field. Some benefit will be there. Grass may grow here and there. But if you want to grow a nice crop of sugar cane or rice, the field should be fertile. What is that fertility? That is surrender. So, we should do devotional activities in a surrendered consciousness. Surrendered mood. Then, Krishna prema is already there. You don't have to go somewhere else to get it. So we stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.